You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Let's call it five easy steps to you in using fear and loathing to manipulate the public into accepting totalitarian rule. Now, after reading Orwell's 1984 several times in my lifetime, as you have, you almost have to acknowledge the evil genius of Bush's scriptwriter and puppet master, Karl Rove. What we've done here is dissected Bush's speeches, which use fear to manipulate our emotions so we'll accept the concept of endless war, so we won't press for specific details about the threats we face, and so we'll give up our freedoms for the promise of security. And also, so we'll believe that Bush's democratic opposition is as great a threat as the shadowy terrorists waiting to kill us. Now, the first part here is Big Brother loves you. Karl Rove makes sure that Bush is placed in front of sympathetic audiences. In the first segment of every speech, Bush begins by thanking whatever carefully chosen group he's addressing.
I want to thank Hal Bruno and the directors of the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. I want to thank you all for giving me the chance to come by a place of love and compassion.
Thank you for letting me come by. Keep working hard.
Thank the teachers who are here. I also want to thank the students and the veterans, and my fellow Americans.
Thank you for coming. I want to welcome you here. Many of you will play a crucial part in our victory against terrorism.
I also want to thank all who work with the USO. You're serving in a crucial moment for the cause of peace and freedom. And your country thanks you. And for those of you who've got a relative in the military, thank you from our bottom of our heart. And I also want to thank Wayne Newton for being here.
Now, that's the first part. All the thank yous. Next, stand by for an important announcement from the Ministry of Truth. It's in the second segment of Bush's canned speech that he begins to instill fear and terror. He uses deliberately vague but terrifying adjectives to describe the dangers Americans face.
We face perils we've never thought about, perils we've never seen before, but they're dangerous. This is good. Versus evil. These are evildoers. They have no justification. Axis of evil. Our struggle is against evil people. Evil people that claim they're religious but are not. Evil weapons. Great evil is stirring in the world. Cult of evil. We fight evil. They're flat evil.
The evildoers are continuing to try to harm America and Americans.
The evildoers. Hands of evildoers. There's no shadow of the world dark enough for them to kind of slither around in. There's a real threat. There are people who want to use death. They want to murder innocent lives. Genocide and chaos. Well, Al-Qaeda is extremely dangerous. The danger is that Al-Qaeda becomes an extension of Saddam's madness. He has made it very clear he hates the United States.
And it's terrifying. Children are forbidden to fly kites. A girl of seven is beaten for wearing white shoes.
The Iraqi regime practices the rape of women.
A leader who has killed thousands of people. A leader who is brutal.
They're seeking chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb.
He wants to have a nuclear weapon. He's terrorized his neighborhood and he's developing weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction. Develops weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons that would create incredible havoc here at home.
Biological and chemical weapons. Xanthrax or VX, nerve gas.
We face a second wave of terrorist attacks in the form of deadly anthrax.
We're stockpiling enough smallpox vaccine for every man, woman, and child in America.
They're still out there. These people are, you know, these killers, they're still lurking around.
There are still thousands of these trained killers around.
The thousands of trained killers are plotting to attack us.
Barbaric killers.
Killers are still out there. They're nothing but a bunch of cold-blooded killers. I also know that the enemy still wants to hit us.
They've hit us before and they want to hit us again.
More dangers and sacrifices lie ahead. Threat to every nation and eventually to civilization itself. Harm civilization as we know it.
The danger to our country is grave. The danger to our country is growing.
I know the risks to our country, whose risks only increase with time.
The threats to the homeland are growing threats.
These people aren't going away anytime soon.
And the morning that hadn't gone by that I haven't saw or read threats.
Sometimes it seems like the terror threat may be going away. But all you got to do is look on your TV today.
The free world is must recognize that no one is safe.
It's the new reality.
Now, step three. Oceania has always been at war with East Asia. War is peace. You see, once Bush establishes that the vague threats against Americans are permanent, it's easier for the masses to accept the concept that the war on terror must also be permanent. Americans now are also beginning to accept that they must give up freedoms because their very lives are at stake. Bush concludes this portion of his speech by further blurring the language with such newspeak as, "We're at war to keep the peace."
We are now in the first war of the 21st century, and it's a different kind of war than we're used to.
We're at war. We're at war. And we're still at war. We're still at risk here in America. We're at war.
This is a unconventional war. It's a different kind of war. It's not the kind of war that we're used to in America.
Because the nature of war has changed. We're vulnerable.
I don't care how long it takes. This is a larger campaign against anybody who hates freedom.
This war against terror continues.
See, the enemy is hard to find. This is a long struggle and a different kind of war. This is a difficult struggle of uncertain duration. We must never forget that this is a long struggle, that there are evil people in the world who hate America. People often ask me, how long will this last? This particular battlefront will last as long as it takes. It's going to take a while. It can take a while. This is going to be a long struggle. I keep saying that. And the American people shouldn't be surprised that we are issuing alerts. Yesterday or a couple of days ago, I put the country on alert for a reason. Today, the Justice Department did issue a blanket alert, recognition of a general threat we received. It was a general threat on America. Ours is a war against terrorism in general. I think the American people understand we're in for a long, long struggle in order to rid the world of terrorism and that there might be loss of life. We take lives when we have to protect the people. We will take actions necessary to protect American people. And I'm going to leave it at that.
I will not discuss the intelligence that our country has gathered.
As to whether or not we will put troops on the ground, I'm not going to tell you. We will not share intelligence, nor will we talk about military plans that we may have or may not have in the future.
There will never be peace so long as there's terror.
And when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
And we'll always value freedom. But we're at war.
But that's the realities of the new world.
Now, step four, you've got to hate the resistance. Now that Americans, with these speeches, are sufficiently terrified and ready to accept anything that'll give them even a drop of security, Bush moves on to phase four of his speech, explaining that the only hope for any security is to give his administration the power to do whatever it wants for the good of America and to protect the homeland, such as locking up Americans in detention camps, wiretapping our phones, making the tax cuts for the wealthy permanent, enacting the Homeland Security Bill, attacking Iraq, and so on and so on. It is in this portion of Bush's canned speech that Karl Rove is at his most devious. He has Bush tell the public that some in Washington don't care about their safety. Now, Americans immediately are supposed to associate the Democratic opposition with the shadowy evildoers and become enraged at anyone who would put them at risk. And as a result, the congressional opposition is intimidated, both by Bush and now by their constituents, and it backs down.
I urge the Senate to pass the faith-based initiative for the good of America.
The terrorists attacked the World Trade Center. I've asked the Congress to give me what's called trade promotion authority.
It is in our national interest that we have an energy plan, our national security interest, and I ask the Senate to put aside all the politics. Yet recent events have been a shock, no question about it, have shocked our economy.
I urge Congress to act now to accelerate the tax relief we've already planned for the years ahead. So we need to pass that bill. I think for the good of the American people, that bill ought to get out of the United States Senate and get to my desk so that we can help the unemployed people grow jobs.
There are some in Washington who want to stop the tax relief, which is like a tax increase, which would be an unmitigated disaster.
We better find terrorism insurance. Because without it, it would be a catastrophic problem.
A delay in decision and inaction could lead to a massive and sudden horror.
It makes eminent sense to have the military tribunal option available. It makes sense for national security purposes. It makes sense for homeland security.
We must do everything we can to protect the homeland.
Doing everything we can to protect our people. And that's why I'm asking Congress to pass a significant budget increase to focus on bioterrorism.
I expect the United States Congress to get the defense bill to my desk quickly. They don't need to delay the defense bill in a time of war.
In a time of war is the wrong time to weaken the president's ability to protect the American people.
I ask for Congress's support to enable the administration to keep the peace.
Cannot have bureaucratic rules preventing this president's
ability to keep the peace. That's what this is all about.
Congress must give us the flexibility necessary to make the right decisions. If a rule stands in the way of being able to better protect the homeland, I should be able to suspend that rule.
And when we face unprecedented threats like we're facing, we cannot have business as usual.
Terrorists are very sophisticated. And so therefore we must give the FBI the ability to track calls.
I'm not going to accept legislation that limits or weakens the president's well-established authorities.
I'm not going to let Congress erode the power of the executive branch. I have a duty to protect the executive branch from legislative encroachment.
Why would Congress want to weaken the resolution?
Because of special interests in Washington, D.C., refuses to or trying to strip me of that power.
The Senate is more interested in special interests in Washington and not interested in the security of the American people.
They should not protest because it is in the best interest of freedom and humankind.
You're either with us or you're against us.
You're either with us or you're with the enemy.
You're either with us or against us. We mean it. There's no middle ground when it comes to freedom and terror.
The issue is now before the United States Congress. This debate will be closely watched by the American people. I'm confident that members of both parties will choose wisely.
Now, the fifth step is to take us to the point where we love Big Brother. In order to manipulate the public into accepting this fascist regime, Karl Rove determined that every speech must end on a positive, hopeful note if we'll just go along with Bush. So, at the end of each speech, Bush stirs Americans into patriotic, flag-waving fervor using carefully chosen emotional terms that trigger vivid imagery like planting the flag of freedom forever and winning the war for our children and our grandchildren.
I am going to seize this moment for the good of the world, for peace in the world, and for freedom. I believe our soul is strong. Our Constitution is firm. People of all faiths, all religions, all areas of our country are united in the common effort to stamp out evil where we find it.
It is not only important for the homeland security of America that we succeed, it is equally as important for generations of Americans who have yet to be born.
Before he threatens freedom, before he threatens America, and before he threatens civilization, we owe it to our children, and we owe it to our grandchildren.
Those men and women, boys and girls.
This mighty nation is going to track them down until we can say with certainty our children and our grandchildren are free. It's important that when our children read about military movements or arrests, we owe it to our children to defend freedom.
Out terror wherever it hides and wherever it exists so the world can be free for our children and our grandchildren.
We must win. We have no other choice for our children and our grandchildren.
We will plant that flag of freedom forever by keeping strong and adhering to the values we hold so dear, starting with freedom.
Well, we will plant our flag on the ground, a flag that stands for freedom, and say to anybody who wants to harm us, you will pay a serious price because we're a nation that is strong and resolved and united.
Five easy steps to use fear and loathing to manipulate the public, this public, into accepting totalitarian rule. Big Brother loves you. Stand by for an important announcement from the Ministry of Truth. Oceania has always been at war with East Asia, and war is peace. Hate the resistance. And finally, we love Big Brother. Bush establishes that the vague threats against Americans are permanent. And once that is established, it's so much easier for the masses to accept the concept that the war on terror must also be permanent. Bush conditions the public to accept perpetual war by using perpetual fear, using indistinct terms like different kind of war, blanket alerts due to general threats. And because they are now terrified, Americans accept the fact that they must be kept in the dark for their own safety and protection. So they don't challenge Bush when he refuses to be specific about the nature of the threats or details of the perpetual war. So now we Americans are beginning to accept that we must give up freedom because our very lives are at stake.
They all come out of the woodwork.
On the day the Nazi died, the world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats.
They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride.
And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again.